Hello, everyone. This is Mark Fiquez, and welcome to the Ballpark Hunter podcast. I'm a regional correspondent for the website Stadium Journey, the industry's leader in sports travel reviews. Check out the new website. It's not so much new anymore, but it's new and improved. Interactive maps. We have new sections where to find reviews on our podcast and a whole lot more. So that's at stadiumajourney.com. So I know we usually talk about ballparks on this show, but today we're going to talk a little bit of some of my other favorite sports. So that is soccer, or as the rest of the world calls it, football. And with me today is Mr. Eddie Hoops, who has been to about 100 countries checking out soccer in his lifetime. I don't know about you, but that's an impressive list. So, Eddie, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to be here.
All right. Thanks, so, Eddie, thank you for coming on, being flexible with the scheduling, and truly do appreciate you making the time. And I guess we can just start with your last soccer experience. Where was that, and where did you go to see games?
Last soccer experience that I had, I was in the Democratic Republic of the Congo in Kinshasa, and I was checking out the national team qualifying for the FIFA World Cup.
Okay, and describe that experience. Was the stadium packed? What took you there? Give us all the details.
Well, what took me there is really it's been an evolution.
Okay.
From branching out, slowly doing the stadiums in North America, branching out to Europe, eventually Asia. And now I've been doing some of the stadiums in Africa.
Okay. All right. So pretty much you're at the point now, you're just looking at what stadiums are left or what countries are left for you to visit, correct?
In a way, I had this idea going back a while, and I knew it would be very difficult to do this, but I was thinking about trying to do a home game of every team that qualifies for the World Cup. And previously there were 32 teams that were qualifying, and now they've recently just expanded to 48. So it made it that much harder.
Yeah, just when you thought you were going to reach that objective, boom, they add more teams. So I guess the next question is, how did this all start? When was your first soccer game? And is it soccer that you predominantly visit in the other countries? I would assume so. But how did this all begin for you?
Well, for a lot of countries, soccer is the dominant sport. So if you want to check out the stadium there, it's pretty much going to be soccer, especially in Asia. I do travel just for the North American sports that have like international games in Europe or elsewhere, NFL or Major League Baseball and those kind of sports. I just came from the NFL in Frankfurt a few weeks ago.
Okay, so you're also in Germany checking out the NFL. Seeing football here in North America, what was that like going over to Germany to see an NFL? Did it feel like you were in the United States, or was there a little different feel to it?
Doing the international games for a North American sport, it's a little bit different. It's all the bells and whistles to make a special experience for the fans of those cities. Generally, the NFL, when they go to a city like London or Munich, they go over the entire city. And there's all the stuff, merchandise everywhere. They take over the town square. They have games and handouts. And it's pretty much a big celebration up until game day,
okay.
Which is a little bit different than if you were to go to a game in a North American city.
Yeah, so it's a big event, like in London. It's like, hey, it's, I mean, I live in Indianapolis, so I'm thinking it's sort of like Indy 500, where everything is just focused on that sporting event.
Right, yeah. For about a week, it's just nothing but that one thing. And it's a lot of fun. When I first used to go, there used to be a lot of North American fans that would make the trip. And little by little, I've been noticing it's more and more Europeans, and their knowledge of the game is really increasing. And it's really starting to take off. And I'm almost positive if they put a permanent team in Germany, they could sell out probably a full stadium with season tickets at this point.
Really? In London as well?
When I first started making the trips back to London, when I first went to London, I think my first game in London was 2009. I was basically explaining the action to everybody on the field, like to my whole section, because they didn't understand it. And now when I go, it's like everybody has such a high knowledge there. We're talking fantasy league players the whole time. And it's people that live in London. They know their stuff. And it's really been a change over the last decade.
Yeah, just 10 years. You know, maybe that the NFL dream of putting a team in Europe will happen eventually. I never could see that happening, but you think it could happen, correct?
I think it absolutely could happen, but they would need four teams.
Yes, I can see it.
So maybe something like two in London, 20, that something like that could work, maybe.
Wow.
And I've heard they want to, I think next year they want him in Spain.
Okay. Yeah, the
Park. So they're looking at Real Madrid's new stadium.
Okay.
To put the new game.
Wow. Wow. I cannot believe that, you know, because I've never talked to anybody who went to a game out there, and I'm thinking, okay, it's just sort of like a thing to do. But, you know, if they have their own teams and you said the folks are knowledge out there, yeah, you definitely can have that experience along with EPL or Spanish League. So that's fascinating to hear.
Yeah, well, the World League was in Germany, and when they took it away, they tried to bring it back in several different forms, and it's still popular, and they still play American football in that country, and they still have a World Bowl.
Yeah, no, that's right. Have you ever attended one of those games?
So I definitely think.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I haven't attended one of those. It's been something I've been trying to do,
yes.
But I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, because I hear about that league. I'm just not that knowledgeable. Does it attract a lot of fans? Does it play at major stadiums? You know, those are just – there's so many leagues out there that you think about, and you just never get down to the nitty-gritty. In 1997, I was in Amsterdam, and I did attend an Admirals game. They played at what was known as the Amsterdam Arena. And that was still the NFL Europe. And I remember it was a decent crowd. It wasn't something you would see, you know, back home in New Jersey at the Meadowlands. But, you know, I always kind of like picture that that's what NFL Europe is like from that aspect. And I know a lot of folks said the NFL in Europe was a bad project. But you're right. Germany really did support its teams and you know, still play. And
I would say. Even when I've made other trips to Europe just to see the other things, I constantly run into people wearing NFL merchandise.
Okay.
Like I could be all over Europe. I've seen people wearing NFL merchandise, NHL merchandise. It's very popular.
Yeah. Is it one specific team they wear, or is it just varied?
So I definitely think there is a market that does predictions, and their metrics are probably pointing towards that as well.
Okay, well, you know, if when that happens, we'll definitely can say we heard it here first, because I just always felt that was a pipe dream, but maybe it's not. Maybe that's just me being a little biased. But getting away from American football into more association football, you've said you've been to a lot of countries. When you go to some of these games, where are the – you see a lot of different experiences. You see a lot of different fandom. What countries do you see a lot of passion? Like, wow, this is an incredible experience and something I have never seen before. You know, is it in England? Is it in Brazil, Argentina? Like, where are some of the greatest fans or experiences you've seen so far? I think we might have lost Eddie.
Hello?
Yes, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I don't know what happened. I was losing you for a second.
Oh, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if that's my end or just the way it is. I'm just talking about like some of the best, like what are some of your best experiences you've seen in soccer? Like where are the ones that just stick out? You're like, wow, what a great game that was, or the fans, or just the traditions. Where are some of your best experiences that you've seen soccer
to? Okay, one of the craziest games I've been to are some of the derby games. And the derby, like I've done Real Madrid versus Barcelona. That's a crazy game. I did River Plate versus Boca Juniors. That one was like being in a mosh pit. Like I was just getting thrown around in the crowd.
Yeah, was that at River Plate or was that over at where? Because I think Boca Juniors, they don't have the away teams coming for the Super Classic, correct?
Yeah. Well, the one I went to was in. It was actually held in Spain because that was the one where they attacked the team bus, and then they weren't allowed to play the game in South America.
Okay, so they had to play this in another continent.
Yeah. And
Oh.
Then thousands of South Americans flooded into Spain and took over the whole stadium. This was in Madrid. It was completely crazy. It was maybe the most secure soccer event I've been to. They had helicopters surrounding the stadium. They had police surrounding the stadium. It took about an hour and a half to get inside, and it was still crazy once you got inside.
So an hour and a half for just going through security and checking you down for weapons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I know my my father took me to a River Plate game many years ago, and he was going to take us to a Boca Juniors game. I don't know if they were playing one another, but somebody told him, yeah, if you're with your kids, don't come here. It's not safe.
It could easily get out of hand.
Yeah, it could get out of hand. And, you know, I always told my dad, I said, oh, my goodness, I could have been at that game. But I do remember going to River Plate. And I remember I'm like 10 years old at the time, and I'm thinking, wow, they really like soccer here. Because, you know, at that time, it's the mid-80s, soccer was sort of dead in this country. And here I am watching, you know, fireworks. Well, at least I thought they were fireworks and banners and people singing and chanting. I had never seen anything like that in my life. Things that are very common in U.S. stadiums today to some degree. But, you know, that definitely nobody is you know, trying to
Did
hurt
you see
each
the
other.
footage
So.
Of the Brazil Argentina game from the other day,
Mm-hmm.
where the Argentina fans were fighting the police in the stands?
Yeah.
I mean, that was completely out of control.
Oh yeah, it gets insane. It you know, it's just, you hear about stories here in the States with fans fighting in the concourse or fighting outside the stadium. You know, Dodgers and Giant fans. You know, you hear. But you're right. You got folks fighting. You got fans fighting the police officers just because it's just, you know, soccer is just such a way of life in a lot of these countries. I mean, did you ever feel unsafe at any time watching some of these games?
Yeah, because one of the stadiums that I've been to was in a country called Ivory Coast, or
Okay. Côte d'Ivoire.
And they call the stadium that they had the game in was the they called the Stadium of Death in Africa because hundreds of people have been crushed in the stadium.
Oh God, that's great to hear.
It's in Abidjan, and I figured it would be okay, but as soon as I got online and the game was getting ready to get going, I was getting crushed in the crowd, and I was like, "This is happening! This is happening again!" And there was a crazy police presence. They were pushing all the fans all over the place. There's actually a YouTube video of it that I was helping film with somebody
Okay.
that I could show you later.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I mean, but everything was okay. Did you get injured? Any serious? You made it out alive.
I wound up getting in okay. Went up all the way to the furthest row in the top of the stadium. I figured it would be safer there. And it was a World Cup eliminator. Like, whoever won the game was going to go to the World Cup. Whoever lost was going home. Well, basically, it was Ivory Coast versus Morocco. An eliminator to go to the World Cup in 2018. After I had gotten into the stadium, I had gone up to the top row. I figured it would be a little bit safer there. And as the game progressed, Morocco started pulling away. It looked like they were going to win. They built up a lead and the crowd was getting angry. They were throwing stuff on the field. Eventually, they had the military come out and start surrounding the field with guns. And there was like bottles and stuff all over the place. And like the military was literally like basically threatening people in the crowd to knock it off. And people in the crowd, I guess they were getting bored with the game. There's a huge fight that broke out in my section, which started with a few guys and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's no ushers there. It just went on and on and on. And eventually the military were like pointing guns at our section and people basically just stopped and left. But that was a little bit dicey. And they were coming over the loudspeaker towards the end of the game. They were telling the Morocco fans not to leave the stadium because they said it was going to be dangerous if they left the stadium, that the surrounding fans might attack them. So they had all the Morocco home fans just wait there for like an hour.
Oh, yeah, I can definitely see that happening. And all you can do is just kind of watch and try to stay out of harm's way, correct?
Yeah, pretty much. And I wasn't sure what to do because I knew if I left the stadium, I would immediately be supposed to be a Morocco fan because I look like a foreigner.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was going to try and make a beeline back to the hotel, which wasn't really too far from the stadium.
And did anybody bother you? Any issues?
No, actually, I didn't really have any problems, but it was a little bit of a concern in the back of my mind because you never know how these things are going to wind up. And there's a bit of a language barrier because I don't really speak French.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. I mean, you're just put in a position where like, okay, I want to survive this, you know, and, you know, I don't think of that happening in the Cote d'Ivoire, but yeah, you know, I've heard stories about some other, you know, countries like in Indonesia. I've heard about a couple teams that are rivals. And when they play, there's chaos. So there's, you know, we grew up hearing about England. You know, the Hillsborough Massacre, you know, now it's other places where we see incidents like this. When I was in Costa Rica visiting my dad, and have you ever been to Costa Rica to see a game?
No, I haven't been to Costa Rica.
All right. Yeah, I've seen some games down there versus Alajuela and Saprissa. Those are two rivals. And, you know, the old Saprissa Stadium, if you sat on top, there was no guardrail. So, I mean, when that place got packed, somebody could fall off very easily. And you're right, there's no ushers. You got fans setting fires in, like, the supporter section. It's something else.
The thing with the road flares always bothers me.
Yeah, the road flares, yeah. Yeah, you just see all these weird things. And then my dad and my mom were on the bus leaving. And I don't know what happened. So a fight broke out on the bus. And the bus driver stopped. And everybody threw this unruly fan off the bus and just drove on. So it's like, okay, we're done. So that's probably my only time at a soccer. And that was after the soccer game that I felt kind of like a crazy experience. So, ooh, wow. So any other experiences that will come close to Cote d'Ivoire?
I have quite a few. Are you talking about just dangerous ones?
Dangerous or maybe unique experiences, you know, I don't want to be on the negative side, but you know, other games that really stand out that you like you could tell a story to a friend at a bar, like, oh my God, you got to hear this story.
I mean, as far as probably sketchy, like I went to a home game qualifier in the Palestinian territories.
Oh.
And that was really, really, as soon as I crossed over, I was like, I shouldn't be here.
Did you cross over, like, were you in the Gaza Strip, or were you?
It's in Al Ram.
Okay.
But to get there, you have to go through something called the Calandia Crossing, which is one of the flashpoints for all the violence.
Yes.
And crossing constantly gets attacked. It's like a military, an ongoing military zone. It looks like something from the Road Warrior. Once you get to the other side, it's just like destroyed stuff and burning cars. And
Wow. So that was the red flag that said, wow, I shouldn't be here.
No, I thought I made a big mistake when I went over there, but I was able to actually get to the game and get out without getting really having a problem.
Okay. And then how did the game go when you were there? Was there any concerns during the match or?
Yeah, so most FIFA teams refuse to play there
Okay.
due to security concerns. And on this particular occasion, they were playing Uzbekistan. And Uzbekistan's another a Muslim team that was very sympathetic to the Palestinian cause, and they wanted to play the game there. So I knew that I would have like a shot to maybe try and go to a game there. I had previously gone to a game in Israel just itself, just to see the Israeli national team. And when I was doing that, in the back of my mind is like, well, I'm like 1 mile away from the Palestinian stadium. I wonder if it would be possible to go there.
Yeah,
And
what harm could be?
which turned out to be a big undertaking.
Yeah, and you said it was just a mile away from where the Israeli stadium was.
No, well, sometimes Israel plays in Jerusalem itself, and then right on the other side of the border wall is like Al Ram,
Okay.
and it's probably about they're probably 2 miles apart. But one side looks like California and one side looks like Mad Max.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I can envision that. I mean, it's kind of hard to see that, but yeah, I can totally see what you're talking about. You're like, oh yeah, everything's okay. I'm on this side, and then you cross over and you're right, Mad Max. And you know, that's the last place I want to see a soccer game or any sporting event at myself. But everything went well. You made it back, and any place you think about going, but tell yourself, no, it's not happening.
Not necessarily, because I think I've slowly over the years have developed the ability to pretty much get anywhere. The only place I wouldn't be able to go as far as a country would be someplace like North Korea, because it's illegal for North American citizens. Sorry, it's illegal for US citizens to go there right now.
Yes. Oh yeah. I wouldn't want to go there either.
But
Just to see a game.
I think the ban actually ends on August 31st
So
of
if you get
2020.
that chance, would you go to see a game?
Yeah, I would go.
Okay.
I was actually I tried to go there a couple of years ago, and this was back around the time when Otto Warmbier went there, and we were contacting a tour agency that was going to be able to try and get us in. And it looks like the tour we were thinking about doing, they couldn't guarantee us that we could see the full game because they wanted us to see all this other stuff. And it's like a guided tour, and you can't really leave the
No.
tour to do whatever you want. But that was one of the reasons why we decided not to do it, just because we wouldn't get the full game in. But it looks like we may have been trying to schedule the same tour as that guy Otto Warmbier. I probably would have been there at the same time that he was there if I had chosen to
Really?
go.
Otto from
Yeah.
Cincinnati. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's a horrific story. And man, you're right. There's a lot of people that said, hey, we're flying back out, and security came and took Otto away, and that was the last we saw of him until he was
Yeah.
brought back in his in a coma. Ooh. I mean, like when you heard about Otto, that whole story, did that ring in your head? Like we could have been on that, or did you have to kind of put two and two together?
I, heard about the story in the news, and then I was like going back and like, that was about the same time we were trying to plan to do it. We may have been on the same tour as this guy. I'm not 100%,
Yeah.
but I mean, because there's only one or two tours at that time that would allow American citizens to go to North Korea.
Yeah. Yeah, and you
So
yeah.
it
Okay.
probably would have been one of them.
Wow. Ooh, that's still an unfortunate situation there. And unfortunately, when you go to some countries, you do take a risk. any issues in the country outside of the soccer game? You know, have you ever been put in a situation where you thought, hey, maybe I'm going to run into some trouble?
I've been pretty lucky. Luckily, pretty much everywhere I go, I kind of blend in, and people have difficulty determining what my ethnicity is.
Yeah, sounds like my dad.
And I've been able to kind of slip in, learn a few sentences, and kind of pass myself off if need be for like 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't assume you go to other countries and you know, do anything that will call attention to you, correct?
Yeah, like I'm not breaking any rules. I'm not, you're not doing anything I shouldn't be doing.
Going to places you're not supposed to be. All right. Well, I feel like we're talking a lot of the negative side about travel. Let's talk about the positive side. You've been to England a few times. My team is Manchester City. Have you checked them out at the Etihad Stadium?
Haven't been up to Manchester. I really don't have an English Premier League team that I support.
Okay.
If any, I would probably say Liverpool. I've seen them play a couple times here and there. I saw Liverpool. They played in the FIFA Club World Championship in Qatar. Saw them win that.
Nice.
So I kind of started supporting them. I also saw Liverpool play in the UEFA Champions League final when they lost to Real Madrid, even though I was kind of rooting for Liverpool that game.
Yeah, definitely. So when you go to these games, it's mostly you're seeing the national teams, but you know, are you also there to see club teams as well, or whatever fits into your schedule?
Yeah, it's more like what fits into my schedule.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would like to eventually do more of the Premier League, more of the Bundesliga, more of Liga 1, Serie A, you know, try and focus on those leagues. But, yeah, you know, there's so much out there, it's hard to be everywhere and do everything.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I go to ballparks, and I haven't hit all the ballparks I'd like to get to, and that's in one country. So, yeah. When what about in terms of MLS? Have you been to a lot of those stadiums? And what's your opinion compared to what you've seen outside of the country?
I have been to a few of the MLS stadiums, but I don't view it as the top league in the world.
Yeah.
I would view Premier League probably as the number one league, and then number two is La Liga in Spain.
Yeah.
So in my mind, those would be more of the priorities to check out because you just have the best players there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So now where are you located, right? Are you out in New Jersey? Is that right?
No, I'm from New York.
Okay. So you're in the city, Long Island, upstate somewhere?
Long Island.
Okay. Nice. Next trips. Where are you planning on going next? And how often do you find yourself out of the country checking out soccer?
Next place. It's funny you say that. So I was just talking with some of the people I travel with. We're thinking about possibly doing Turkmenistan in March for World Cup qualifying, and also Nigeria in June.
Nigeria in June. That sounds pretty exciting. Are these people that live in the area, or do you assemble from around the globe?
Yeah, so I know a bunch of people who just do traveling in general, maybe not in the sporting sense.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, if I want to go to a place like Nigeria, they just want to go to experience Nigeria, not so much go to the game. So sometimes they'll jump on board with that with me.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I travel alone a lot when I go to my ballpark, so sometimes it's nice to meet up. And we had a gentleman on the Stadium Journey podcast, Ashvin Ladd, who he went out to Qatar to watch several World Cup games himself. Were you happen to be out there for the World Cup?
No, I didn't go to the Qatar World Cup. I went to the Russia one.
Nice.
In 2018, but in Qatar, you had to get this thing called a Haya card to get access to go to the games. And since it's linked to your phone number, since I had attended the FIFA Club World Cup in Qatar before the World Cup, my phone number, for whatever reason, wouldn't allow me to register. And I just gave up on it after a while.
Wow, just because you had went there already and you couldn't use another
Yeah.
phone. You couldn't just change your phone number just to go to the World Cup.
I probably could have got another phone, but I was just like, forget it. It's not. It was going to be a very expensive trip, and I decided to just save the money.
Go someplace else and experience. Okay, well, I guess before I have you go for the today, some of these countries you visited, any of the countries you said, wow, what a very beautiful place to visit. I'd like to go back. What were you surprised by some of the places you have visited in your life?
Yeah, I would say country most that fits that would probably be Russia. Because every movie I watched since 1985 on was about how Russia was evil in this horrible place. And they're holding the World Cup, and there I am. I'm standing in the Red Square in front of the church that's on the back of the Tetris board. And it was it wound up being a very beautiful, clean place. Everybody was very friendly. People were very curious that I was American, because not a lot of Americans made the trip to that particular World Cup, because there was at the time there was a little bit of hostility going on between Russia and the US. I don't know if you remember back in 2018.
Yeah, there's always something going on between us and the Russians. I mean, yeah, I grew up too in the 1980s, Rambo First Blood. I mean, Rambo 2, there you go. It's the Russians were behind Vietnam holding hostages. Red Dawn, they're coming to attack us. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Russians or the Soviets were always the bad guys. We were the good guys. So, yeah.
I never in my life thought I would be standing there in the Red Square, and
Yeah.
it was actually pretty nice.
Oh,
And
no,
the
I'm sure.
trains were nice, the subways were beautiful. Like I actually kind of enjoyed it. I was able to fly from JFK to Moscow direct,
Even better.
and they were playing movies on the plane that where Russia was the bad guy, and they didn't even care.
And that's the funny thing. It's, if people remember the height of the Cold War, that's how it was. And I'm sure the Russians probably thought we were the bad guys too. I can only imagine what they heard about us over there. But you would definitely go back to visit just to check things out again.
There it's such a big country that it's like trying to see the United States in 2 days. It's not possible.
It's not possible. I don't know. My family went to Russia before I was born, and my father said he enjoyed it, but he doesn't know why he went there in the middle of winter. Said it's the coldest he's ever experienced in his life. And my brother, who was about 9 years old at the time, didn't want to eat the food that was on the tour, and he wanted pizza. And my father was walking around. He might have been in St. Petersburg. Looking for a place to get food for my brother, with a giant jacket. It was so heavy that it had a chain around it to hang it up when you got back into the hotel lobby. So he's like, you know what? If you're hungry, you're eating what we have, and if not, you're starving. I'm not doing that again. So yeah, I've heard some stories about Russia just being cold. Nothing negative about it. My dad's another person, traveled a lot, went to a lot of soccer matches abroad as well, and hated baseball. Can't stand it. Loves soccer, but hates baseball. So, all right. Any country that you wouldn't probably want to go back? You're like, okay, that was fun. We saw soccer, and that's it.
I would say China.
Okay.
I
You
would
didn't
say
like China.
China. China, I had a real hard time, and I thought that was going to be the country where I wasn't going to be able to get into the stadium.
Okay, what happened?
So I got there a few days early. My hotel was close to the stadium. I kept going to the stadium every day trying to figure out tickets, but I don't really speak Chinese. And they just kept throwing me out like every day from the area around the stadium. And then eventually it became game time, and I was walking around. I still couldn't figure out how to get my hands on a ticket. This was the week that the NBA was having preseason games in China, and they had the general manager of Houston made some
That's
pro-Taiwanese
right.
remarks, and So the NBA preseason games were supposed to be on national TV in China. After that incident happened, they took them off TV and they put this World Cup qualifying game against Guam on national TV, and they turned it into like a giant Communist Party rally. So it went from being a minor event to a major event. And I was wandering around the area and I saw a guy. He's basically standing in these bushes. And he had a ticket. And he was trying to call me over. And I went in there. I had to do a deal, I think, in Cantonese. I gave him some money. He gave me a ticket. And the reason why he was standing in the bushes is because they have facial recognition technology everywhere. And if you try to scalp a ticket, they'll know immediately and arrest you. So I was able to get my hands on a ticket. I eventually went and tried to go into the stadium. And it wouldn't let me go in because the second thing you need to go into the stadium is you need a national ID from China to scan in.
Oh, and my goodness.
I don't have one. And the police were just yelling at me to go home and all this stuff. And after a while, the ticket clerk, he just like felt bad for me. And he scanned me in with his own ID.
Wow.
And he let me in.
Wow. Because that could have went a whole other way, correct?
Yeah, I thought there was no way I was getting in.
Yeah, they could have just forcibly kicked you out of that stadium. So, you know what? Get out of here. Now come back.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And eventually they let me in, and I started trying to go up to the stands, and they wouldn't let me go up because I was wearing, like, a Jacksonville Jaguars T-shirt or something. So they made me wear they gave me a Chinese soccer jersey because it was going to become, like, this big every person in the entire stadium was wearing red and waving red flags and everything.
So they gave you a free shirt to wear. Did they let you keep it?
They gave me I wound up getting a free Chinese soccer jersey out of it.
Hey, that's not bad for all your trouble trying to get that ticket.
I was like, all right, whatever. I'll just sit here. I'll be quiet. I don't know the words to any of these songs, but I'll just clap along and maybe nobody will bother me.
I mean, were there other any visible Americans or Europeans there with you, or was it all Chinese citizens?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't see one person that was not probably a Communist Party supporter.
Wow. And nobody followed you back to the hotel or bugged your phone?
Well, my phone was probably bugged no matter what.
No
I got to the hotel.
No matter what. Oh, my goodness. You know, I like going to sporting venues, and I would love to travel a little more around the world. But my goodness, some of the stories you have just shared with me, and I'm sure we're just at the tip of the iceberg. Ooh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. You're a better man than me, Eddie. So safe
when
travels.
I started doing this, I was probably one of those guys that was on the road to doing Club 124.
Okay.
And I started pushing myself harder and harder to just push the limits of how far I could go with, you know, seeing stadiums all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's exciting. I mean, you get to meet new people, see new places, try new foods. I'm sure you have had your share of unique foods across at different stadiums, or is it not as unique as we think it is?
One of the reasons I got to say why I like to go to the Asia, Africa sort of places is because it's so different than the world that we live in. It's a whole different world. It's different foods, different cultures. Even London, it's a little bit like McWorld.
Okay.
You know, we have pretty much the same restaurants and the same things.
Yeah, but like you said, you're in, where did you say you just got back from? The Democratic Republic of Congo? Or the
yes, yeah.
Yeah. So there for I mean, I know we talked a little bit about that at the start of the podcast. But when you went to that match, you know, what kind of foods would somebody be able to try there that you really enjoyed that you couldn't get out here?
So one of the things that they do in Africa, at least at the stadiums that I've been to, it's a little bit different where they don't have concessions in the stadium. They basically have street vendors that wander in
Okay, nice.
And these are like the same street vendors that are kind of like selling stuff in the area. And I don't know if they pay the security to let themselves in. And then they come in and they sell whatever they have. So you never know what you're going to get from some of these street vendors. I don't really like to eat the food at a place like that because I
Okay.
feel like it might make me sick.
Yeah, definitely have to think about that.
Because I'm not used to eating that food. So I generally try to eat at a hotel if possible.
Okay.
But they'll sell like simple things, little sandwiches. I saw them selling waffles, basically soft drinks and beer, stuff like that.
Yeah, because I have a feeling like in the United States, the food at the ballparks, especially for like most of our major sporting events, all over the place. You can get pretty much whatever you can imagine. But if I went to a soccer match in England, I'm getting meat pies or a sausage roll and a beer, and I can't even drink the beer during the game. I have to go at halftime or before. So it's always curious how other countries, what the concessions are. So yeah. All right, well, Eddie, I appreciate you coming on and talking, and if people want to get in touch with you and talk a little more about soccer, where can they find you? Or do you want to talk to them? Maybe
If
no.
you're a sports psychopath and you want to try to go to any of the 193 countries that are out there and you're having trouble doing it, you can always contact me at Eddie Hoops One on Twitter.
There you go.
That's basically my only social media. I don't have Facebook, I don't have Instagram, I don't have anything else.
You're a smart man. It becomes addicting. Yeah, because I mean, you probably could do a YouTube channel and have your adventures. That'd be fascinating.
People are constantly trying to get me to either do a blog or a YouTube channel, but I've never seriously considered it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's if you're not into it, yeah, don't do it. I mean, whenever I go anywhere these days to a sporting event, I'm recording it, and sometimes I sit on that material for a couple years, and oh yeah, here's my trip to I don't know Indianapolis Indians game from 2019. Let me put that on the website. So nice. Okay, well, Eddie, I appreciate you coming on. Sorry for the technical difficulties earlier. That's just technology. And safe travels, and we'll definitely talk to you again on Twitter or someplace else.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for having me.
All right, have a
Appreciate it.
great night. All right, that's Mr. Eddie Hoops with his adventures around the globe, going to different football games or what we call soccer. Also checked out some NFL games in Europe. I think I could probably get him back on this show and have a conversation with him about other sports adventures. So very fascinating. I don't know if I would be that adventurous, but a lot of people are. There's many people that travel the globe going to different venues. I mean, I haven't been to Europe in about 20 years, and I have friends who jet to Europe, every other month it seems. Plus, if you live out in New York, it's a little bit easier to get out to London or Paris, things of that nature. And he's talking about going to games over in some African countries, which you don't think about. You don't think about seeing sporting events in certain countries. You think about the big ones, but there's a lot of soccer stadiums, and he's right. Every country plays soccer, and every country has at least one major soccer stadium. I think even Iceland has a major soccer stadium where, I'm sure people are going to watch games. So yeah, fun, exciting. You get to see the country. You get to get introduced to new culture, new foods, language, customs. You may make some new friends. My dad still talks to a gentleman that he met at a bazaar in Istanbul in the early 70s. And here we are, well over 50 years later. I'm Facebook friends with the gentleman. And he actually called via Facebook to talk to my dad last year when he was up here in the States. So, that's the joy about traveling. And now you have Facebook, now you have other social media, now you can get on Zoom and have a conversation with that person. You can do a podcast with them. So, I had a podcast with a gentleman from Chile recently. I had a podcast with somebody from the Falkland Islands who is in part of a hockey league. Never thought I would see that day.
And he said, hey, whenever you come down to the Falkland Islands, let me know. Maybe one day I'll take him up on that offer. That'd be quite the trip, wouldn't it? So thank you guys for listening to the Ballpark Hunter podcast. I know there's a lot of ballpark podcasts out there, baseball podcasts, baseball shows. People do them all the time. They're very entertaining, very engaging. You can even interact with them live. I'm not quite there yet. But thanks for listening, keeping this thing afloat. And next week's guest, don't know who will be. It could be somebody from the Gem City Bisons. No, it's not going to be anybody from the Gem City Bisons. They don't exist. I have a couple guests lined up. We'll see who jumps on. One of them is the Mercer Mammoths, who are a new team in the East Coast Collegiate Baseball League. They are going with the name Mammoths, even though I think the Jersey Jug Handles would have been a better name. But they decided for two games, and I'm being biased because I came up with the name, so it's a joke. They're going to play two games with the Jersey Jug Handles name that I designed the logo for. So I'm excited to see that because, you know, when you're a kid, you drew logos. I drew logos in yearbooks. I drew logos in my notebooks. I drew pictures. I drew jerseys. I got mocked. I remember getting mocked on freshman year for drawing logos. It was these two dirt bags that I had in science class. Oh, you're drawing logos. Oh, you should be talking about girls. Yeah, I was thinking about girls, dude, but it was easier for me to draw a friggin' logo for a made-up baseball team. So how many years was that? All these years later, I'm going to have a design logo be on a hat and jersey of a baseball team. So it's only going to be for two games, but I'll take that. I will take that any day of the week. So I'm excited. It's going to be in my home state of New Jersey. And depending on when they play, I may even be out there to watch a game because I am due a trip back to the motherland. So stay tuned for that. We may have somebody from the new Mercer Mammoths ball club coming up. And hopefully I have a few more guests that can come on here. I do want to talk to Jason24 about some of the new logos. I'm seeing that the Northwest Arkansas Travelers. I messed that up. The Northwest Arkansas. The heck is their name? The Naturals. Mike, I almost called them the Experience. That'd be a cool name. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals have, you know, one of these memes up. 12-16, December 16th, something new. So who knows if they're changing? Usually they do that in November, but hey, you could do that in December. Nobody's going to fault you for it. And right now, the Portland Pickles are having like massive sales on their website. So hopefully there's some good stuff still available when this podcast comes out. So there's some fun stuff going on. So until next time, check me out on YouTube at Ballpark Hunter. You can also check me out on Twitter, Ballpark Hunter as well. Threads, Instagram. I'm starting to hit that now because the person who won Mercer Mammoth got a lot of attention on Instagram, and I'm over here on Twitter. I might as well be on stupid MySpace because all the cool kids are on Instagram. So I'm getting a presence felt on there a little bit higher now. So we will see you next week. I'll be with somebody. I just don't know at this moment. Hopefully it's somebody in the baseball industry that can share their expertise with the rest of you. Take care. Bye-bye.